To the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say that you really started off on a special occasion. I'll explain a little more later. So if you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast, and you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So some of you guys are probably wondering, why would this be a special occasion? What makes this episode of the Animation Podcast more different than many of the other episodes? What gives? Well, let me tell you why, is that this week we actually got CinemaCon. Yes, this is the big convention where many major studios would come in and announce some pretty exciting projects, most likely what's basically coming out this year. However, this is not the same kind of convention that you would expect, like any sort of geek convention, like any of the Comic Cons or MagFest or Con Bravo or any of those things. No. This one is more of a business convention where Hollywood executives and theater owners, they would go in and learn more about the business, how to grow their business, how to make more money, and also how to expand and also to adapt in this new age of cinema. So basically, it's more for them than anything. But like I said, it's also where some studios can come in and announce some big projects that they have coming up in 2017, but also in 2018. So the stuff that I will be talking about will include some works from, one project coming from Disney that they have announced this year. Then afterwards, we will be looking into the lineup that STX has in store for us. And then afterwards, Paramount has some plans with how they want to come back into the animation industry with animated features. And Nickelodeon actually plays a huge part. And then afterwards, we will be looking into some other news, including the movie Leap being delayed. And then finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. Now, before I begin with the Disney one, I just want to mention that there are plenty of other studios that also talked during CinemaCon, including Universal, 20th Century Fox, and also Sony. But the reason why I'm not going to be going into much of them is because they didn't really talk much about animation. Universal only talked about Despicable Me 3, 20th Century Fox only looked into Captain Underpants, and surprisingly, Sony didn't really announce much. All they did was just discuss a little bit about The Star, which is coming at the end of this year, and also their animation live-action hybrid of Peter Rabbit, or at least in terms of the animation projects. That's pretty much all that they went into. But going into the Disney one, this is actually a piece of news that's not really that big. It's a relatively small subject. I mean, like, I might not really talk too much into it, but it really spread a lot of news. So Disney didn't necessarily look too much into their movies. The only ones that they've highlighted was Wreck-It Ralph 2, which that's what I'm going to talk about, and also the fifth and probably final Pirates of the Caribbean film, Dead Men Tell No Tales. So with all that said, when they got into Wreck-It Ralph 2, the only thing that they revealed a little bit is just some tiny pieces of information that nobody is probably surprised about, and also the official title. It's not just going to be Wreck-It Ralph 2. The official title of it is going to be Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. And this was actually announced by Dave Hollis, the head of distribution for the Walt Disney Studios. But on top of that, they also had some other people coming in discussing about it, including director Rich Moore, and also writer Phil Johnston, and also Clark Spencer. Now, to take a little quote from here, I believe it was Rich Moore who said this. By the way, I'm using my source here on the Animation Scoop to take these characters we love and have them enter the enormous world of the internet has given us so much to explore. Our production team has been hard at work designing a world that takes something we all think we know, the internet, but shows it in a whole new imaginative way. And before I go into the next quote, I just want to mention that the little piece of information that Disney did confirm that no one is going to be surprised about is that, of course, Jane Lynch and Jack McBrayer will be returning in the cast, reprising their roles as Fix-It Felix and Sergeant Calhoun. Now, Phil Johnston stated, "We're so excited to be working with Ralph Vanellope von Schweetz, Fix-It Felix, and Sergeant Calhoun again, and we have new characters we look forward to unveiling. At the center of this film, as in the first one, is the relationship between Ralph and Vanellope, two once outcasts who, in each other, found true friendship." And you know, that's actually going to be pretty nice. And yeah, it's definitely going to get into the heart of Wreck-It Ralph. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that it's not necessarily what the like, people wanted from Wreck-It Ralph that much, because I remember back in 2012, people came in expecting so many cameos from video game characters. But what we got instead is the relationship between Ralph and Vanellope. And people came out going, it's like, well, you know what? That's actually really good. I'm not even mad. So, yeah, I'm glad that they actually do keep to the heart of Wreck-It Ralph, and they will bring it to the internet, or like in this movie where it's completely set on the internet. But yeah, I'm not too surprised that Disney didn't really announce much. Like, all they did is just mention the title and also mention like, oh yeah, it's gonna be great, so go and check it out. That's it. And the reason why I'm not too surprised is because this summer is going to be D23 Expo. And I know for a fact that Disney is going to keep all their surprises onto that. And I mean, this year, they didn't even get into much about, like, many of the Marvel movies or even a lot of the Star Wars films. They're saving all that for later. It's going to be when D23 Expo is going to come out. That's going to be when all the huge announcements are going to be coming in, when we're going to know a lot more info about not just the Marvel and the Star Wars films, but that's going to be the time when we're really going to know about Ralph Breaks the Internet. That's going to be when we are going to learn a little bit more about the story. We're going to see a lot more concept art, and we're going to be learning about new characters and who's going to be playing them. So it's going to be at that time, but I'm sure Disney thought that they needed to at least bring in something for CinemaCon, so they brought in just a little snippet of information for Ralph Breaks the Internet, and then also like have their main presentation be Pirates in the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tale, considering that is going to be coming out very soon, at the end of May, actually, which I am actually pretty intrigued. But yeah, like I said, there really isn't much going on. That's all the piece of news that we got from Disney, is the fact that Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2, is going to be the title, which, by the way, it is a little bit weird considering that normally you would expect Wreck-It Ralph 2 to be like the first big piece of the title, but no, that's actually the secondary thing. And instead, we got Ralph Breaks the Internet. That's the important factor to know. That, and also we got Sergeant Calhoun and Fix-It Felix returning. So that's pretty much all that we know. And if you guys are excited to see the movie coming back and you want to see Ralph and Vanellope, Sergeant Calhoun and Fix-It Felix go in the world of the internet, then all you have to do is just wait until March 9th, 2018 for the movie to be released. Okay, so jumping from Disney, we are going right ahead to STX. Now, some of you are probably wondering, what is STX? Like, you've probably never heard of it. Well, they are a relatively new major studio that's coming into the scene, and they're trying to bring in more of their work. So they're trying to be the next big thing in Hollywood so far. And they actually do have a bit of an animation roster onto their belt. Like, they are preparing a lot of them. Many of them are just under production, but there is one that they did confirm that will have a release date. And at CinemaCon this year, they actually came in and revealed three animated projects, one of which, like I said, has a release date, and two are still in development. You might have heard about them before, but, you know, they're still working on it. Things are going smoothly in terms of production, or at least from what we know. Okay, so the first one that they revealed was a movie called Ugly Dolls. And in the same veins of films such as the Lego Movie and Trolls, this one is based on the popular toy line. And what they have revealed so far is that apparently the director is going to be someone that you might be familiar with. His name is Robert Rodriguez, the director of the Sin City films and also Spy Kids. He's going to be working on it, and going into here on my source at Slash Film, it has said, according to the presentation, Rodriguez brought the dolls in a local toy shop. In a local toy shop for his son, and brought them to Troublemaker Studios, where he fell in love with them. The movie will espouse the message of be bold, be unique, be you, and also stated that. Apparently, the guy from Slash Film who saw that, they said that, apparently he said, there's a little bit of a Monsters, Inc. vibe coming from this Ugly Dolls movie. And in terms of the release date, that one, they are planning to get it released on May 10th, 2019. Now, for the second project that they have, this one is a little bit of a mysterious one because we don't know what the title even is, not even the release date. It has stated that this film is about Bo, the fiercest bull in rodeo history, and his son, Bo Jr., who dreams of being a rodeo clown. There was no release date attached, but it appears to be some kind of cross-country movie, perhaps a father-son road trip tale. And the only thing that we know about this project is that apparently the star of the film is Eddie Murphy, which is why the only thing that they could call it now is just the Eddie Murphy Project. Rather, if he's going to be playing Bo or Bo Jr., that we don't know. And then the grand finale. Now, this one is not relatively new. It has been announced before, but in here they are stating that production is going pretty well, and they did reveal some interesting information, and probably the most anticipated movie in their lineup, because I'm sure there must be some people who are familiar with it. It's the one where STX is coming out and saying that I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art in a dazzling coat of many colors. Oh, how I love my coat of many colors. It was red and yellow and green, and I'm not even gonna continue because there are way too many freaking colors. Yes, STX is actually making an animated musical on Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Now, it's not STX directly that they're going to be working on it. This is actually coming from Rocket Pictures, which is Elton John's studio, where they have also made Romeo and Juliet. Now, the one thing that STX actually did reveal in here is that they didn't specify a release date yet. Apparently, in there, they did show a little bit of storyboards, but they did reveal that apparently lyricist Tim Rice and composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, the same guy who also made Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, are going to be attached to this project. They are currently hard at work on this movie, and they are also going to be writing some new songs for the film. Okay, so with all that said, let me just go in order about some of my thoughts onto these movies. So when it comes to Ugly Dolls, this is going to be a major mix. With the fact that they got Robert Rodriguez on board, like, this guy can either be, like, really awesome, or he can make something that's extremely stupid. I mean, sure, this is the same guy who made Sin City and plenty of other acclaimed movies. But at the same time, Robert Rodriguez is also the same guy who did Shark Boy and Lava Girl. And then there's another one that, it didn't really get that much popularity, but it also looked really stupid. I think, what was it called? Shorts? It's about this, like, rainbow rock, and some crazy stupid shenanigan happens. But, yeah, like, it can really be a mix with Robert Rodriguez. You never know with what he can come up. But it is interesting that he is coming into the realm of animation with Ugly Dolls. And hopefully there will be more of a story to it instead of, like, just hammering in that message of be bold, be unique, be you. You know, trying to really emphasize that, like, I don't know. I just hope that they're not going to be hammering in that message too much. And hopefully he can bring up something interesting with it. So, who knows what could happen with Ugly Dolls. It's, like, I'm on the fence with it. It's either going to be really great or just really, really stupid. And then at the same time, you also got this Eddie Murphy project. And the one thing that I am a little bit concerned is the last piece that Slash Film actually wrote, that it says it appears to be some kind of cross-country movie, perhaps a father-son road trip tale. And what I am worried about is the fact that they might end up doing some kind of goofy movie style film where it's going in that direction of a road trip. That, or also, it might be that really generic movie that would use that same old cliched story about a son who has this really tough dad, and throughout the whole thing, he's just looking for his dad's approval. You know, just go and do that. There are so many animated films and even live action films that have done that. It's just been, like, tedious. Like, they need to think a little bit more with it. Like, rather, even if they got Eddie Murphy on board, you know, they better do more. But then you got Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I just want to say right now, I actually am really familiar with it, which is also why I sung a little bit of an excerpt of it. The reason why I am familiar is because when I was a kid, my family once had this huge period of loving Joseph. It's just real, like, we knew the songs, like, back and forth, and we always watched the VHS. I don't know if it's a TV movie or if it ever got released in theaters, but it was this entire TV movie where it's set in this gymnasium, because, like, the whole show is being presented to a bunch of school kids, but it turned out to be this massive Broadway show that's bigger and bigger than life, and even the kids were interacting and singing the songs as well. Like, I remember, like, the kids were all singing, like, close every door to me, keep those I love from me, you know, all that stuff. And the one thing that I remember is that Donny Osmond actually plays Joseph, and that's how I remember Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's from that version. I don't think I even saw Joseph on stage. Maybe I've heard different versions in terms of soundtracks, but I'm not 100% sure. But the one thing that I do know is that technically, this is not going to be the first time that Joseph is going to be coming into animation. Now, even though this version is not based on the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, DreamWorks actually did create, back during the beginning of the studio's career, when they actually did a direct-to-video movie that's like a spiritual successor to The Prince of Egypt called Joseph, King of Dreams. And yeah, that's basically what it is. It's just a spiritual successor to The Prince of Egypt. It has a bit of the same style. It was hand-drawn animated, and it goes more into the story of Joseph. And yes, it even had, like, the dream code and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I am actually pretty interested to see what Elton John, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Tim Rice would do in this project. Especially the fact that, oh my god, Elton John and Tim Rice are teaming up for another animated film once again. I do hope that it is the case that, like, maybe they can work out on the music and stuff like that, or maybe it's just Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, but I don't know. It's just the idea of Tim Rice and Elton John collaborating on an animated feature once again. It really does excite me, considering that their previous works that they've done in animation includes The Lion King and Road to El Dorado. That is going, that right there for me, like, I'm sold on it. So them working on Joseph, it's going to be really interesting. And, you know, I don't know when this is going to be coming out. Maybe STX is planning it to be released either in 2020 or either 2021, considering that they don't have a release date for it. I am actually pretty excited. Among all of them, this is the one that I am intrigued to see. So who knows what could possibly happen. So far, we know Ugly Dolls is going to be released in 2019, but then STX also has the Eddie Murphy Project and also Joseph. So how is it going to go? Is it going to work? Is it not? Who the fridge knows? But we'll leave it in the hands of STX to make their introduction in animation. Okay, now our next studio that we're going to be looking into is going to be Paramount. And you might have probably heard in the news that so far, Paramount has really not been doing well. In fact, in terms of the revenue in the box office, they are actually the worst because many of their movies would end up flopping or audiences are not really that interested to see some of their movies. And even in the animation realm, they seriously are lacking ever since they broke their contract with DreamWorks Animation. I mean, the last movies that they have released on their own was 2011 with Rango, and then in 2015, technically, with the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water. But ever since then, they didn't really do much. I mean, technically, sure, Paramount Animation did work on Monster Trucks, but yeah, that movie was a massive disaster for Paramount. It really did a lot more harm than good. But with all that said, though, Paramount is thinking about going back into the saddle with animation, and a key player in this is going to be Nickelodeon. Now, for 2018, they already have two animated features in the lineup. On January 12th, there is going to be Sherlock Gnomes, which is going to be the sequel to Romeo and Juliet. And then afterwards, they will release an original animated feature called Amusement Park. But we don't really know what it is. All we know so far is that it does have a familiar cast, which includes Mila Kunis, Matthew Broderick, Jennifer Garner, Ken Jeong, and Jeffrey Tambor. But with all that said, though, they are really hoping that Amusement Park might actually turn out to be a really big hit for them. And it should, though, because they have already announced that for the year after, in 2019, they are going to release a TV series on Nickelodeon based on Amusement Park. Now, there's a very high chance that none of the original actors are going to return, like Mila Kunis and Matthew Broderick and Jennifer Garner. But, yeah, that's the one piece of news that we know so far of what's going to be happening with Amusement Park. But then, you got their lineup for 2019 and 2020. Now, here's the plan right there. They are going to be releasing four animated features based on Nickelodeon properties. Two of which, we have no idea what they are. These are untitled. We don't know what they're going to be. The first one will be on March 22nd, 2019. And then the other one is going to be released on July 31st, 2020. But then there are two others that we do know what they are, or that they have announced what they are. So on August 2nd, 2019 is going to be the third SpongeBob SquarePants movie. And then on February 7th, 2020 will be the movie of The Loud House. Yes, the popular Nickelodeon show that is starting to gain a lot more interest on Nickelodeon in the first place, that is actually going to be getting a movie. And it is actually pretty interesting to see Paramount really trying to get back on track in the animation realm. I mean, I don't know if 2018 is really going to count that much. I mean, Sherlock Gnomes, I don't think it's going to really count that much, considering that that movie, like I said, it's a sequel to Romeo and Juliet. So, like, it may not start off big for Paramount. In fact, considering that it is going to be released in January, people are really not going to care much. But Amusement Park is probably going to be their big feature. This is going to be their big comeback in animation. And it better pay off well, considering that we only know the title is just amusement park and their cast. We haven't seen any of the concept art of it. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know the tone of it. Who knows how it could turn out? Maybe it could be great. Maybe it could be crap. We don't know, but it feels like at this point it could be a little bit of a gamble. Oh, actually, I don't know how I skipped this, but apparently it's not going to be, Amusement Park is not going to be released on July 13th, but instead of, it looks like it's actually going to be released on August 10th. So that's going to be the official release date. August 10th, 2018 is going to be Amusement Park, but on top of that, it better be a big hit considering that they are also releasing a Nicktoons show. But then you got the entire Nickelodeon stuff. And, we already know that there was at one point that they did state that there could be this huge Who Framed Roger Rabbit style movie with all the retro Nickelodeon shows like Ren and Stimpy, Rugrats, Hey Arnold, and all that stuff. Maybe that could actually be one of the untitled Nickelodeon movies. And then we also know about the third SpongeBob movie. We don't know what the movie itself will be about, but we know that SpongeBob is going to be coming back to the big screen. And then finally, we got The Loud House. And I think this definitely is a sign that we are seeing, not necessarily Paramount, but Nickelodeon really coming back on track, especially the fact that now they are giving one of their more popular shows a movie. This is going to be back like in the golden age of Nickelodeon when a lot of those shows would end up getting a movie, whether it be like the Wild Thornberries or Rugrats would get like a whole bunch of them, or even Hey Arnold. So at least we could see that popularity for Nickelodeon to return. And it has come down to the point where the Loud House would even get its own movie. I mean, Loud House would probably play a big part for audiences to, you know, leave Cartoon Network so that they could watch more Nickelodeon shows. I mean, Cartoon Network nowadays, they're not necessarily offering as much. I mean, people are just starting to really get sick and tired and really pissed off over the fact that most of the time, all they're doing is just showing Teen Titans Go. And literally, that's it. And even the new shows don't necessarily really offer that much promise. I mean, so far, they got a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs TV series. I haven't really heard much on how that's going in terms of ratings and stuff like that, but many people just say that it's just eh. So I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm not even going to freaking watch it. Are you crazy? But I don't know. I'll take their word for it that it's just meh and I'm not even going to bother. So, but yeah, like, I guess audiences are just going to wait until Steven Universe comes back, but in the meantime, they'll just chill out on Nickelodeon with The Loud House. But, yeah, this is going to be pretty interesting to see Paramount trying to come back in the animation realm. And rather, if this is really going to work or not, like, maybe 2018 is going to be a little bit of an appetizer. But their big plan is going to be once 2019 comes in, and that's when they're going to really unleash it with all their Nickelodeon properties. So who knows how that's going to go. But, yeah, this is so between 2018 and 2020... Paramount is going to be ready with a lot of movies. Okay, so for our next story, we are going to be focusing again in just one movie. Now we're going to be jumping into The Weinstein Company, where they actually did something with the film Leap. Or as anybody who doesn't live in America would know it as Ballerina. Now the thing is with Leap is that originally, it was supposed to be released on March 3rd. The Americans could have had it at this point, but Weinstein actually went and switched it to April 21st. So that was the release date during this whole time. But the key word here was. That's the whole point. Because the Weinstein Company actually decided to move Leap once again from its April 21st release date onto the Labor Day weekend. So now the release date is going to be on September 1st. And with that said, the big reason, as you could probably imagine, is to really take advantage of the whole Labor Day weekend. And if I may take a quote here from Harvey Weinstein in my source here through The Hollywood Reporter, it stated, "There's a lot of women empowerment in this movie. Boy empowerment too. We plan to play it at every film festival we can try to promote this movie. I'm really proud of it. Sometimes you move dates for good reasons, and I think this is a really smart move. And on top of that, this is actually not long after they have announced that they have added some people among the cast, including adding in Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, who is going to be playing three parts in the film, and also including Mel Brooks and Ricardo Sanchez. But what is actually very interesting is that the real reason that you could probably expect, it's actually stated here in this Hollywood Reporter article, is mostly because of the competition. And that is actually very true and really, really understandable. Because here's the thing. Okay, so let's just say that they didn't change the release date and they kept Leap on April 21st. Throughout the month of April, there are going to be not just some, but way too many animated features to be released where it can be comfortable sitting there. Where they just released DreamWorks' The Boss Baby. Then the week after that is going to be Sony's Smurfs The Lost Village. And then the week after that is going to be the movie Spark. So already, that's three new animated features in theaters. And then you got this one little animated feature, Leap, is going to be coming in, and it's already freaking crowded. There's going to be way too many options for people to choose. And this is not even to mention of the big mainstream movies that are still going to be in there during this time. Like, there's going to be Beauty and the Beast. There's going to be Power Rangers. There's going to be Ghost in the Shell. And not to mention that on April 14th, there's going to be The Fate and the Furious. And that I can guarantee that there's going to be a lot of people who want to go and check that out just to see Vin Diesel being evil. You know what I mean? So that's the whole scenario. It's just because it's way too freaking crowded for this one small animated feature to be presented. So I could definitely understand why it has to go move onto the Labor Day weekend. And for me personally, as someone who has actually seen the movie already in theaters, I think at this point, it has already been a month since I've actually seen Ballerina in theaters, or like, as the movie is called, Ballerina. And the reason why I really got it early is actually because the animation studio that made this film, L'Atelier Animation, or L'Atelier Studios, or just L'Atelier, those guys, they were the ones who actually made the animation. So I actually got this early. For me, I feel like this is exactly like The Little Prince from last year, where I've already seen that movie in theaters back in the beginning of the year in February, but then like there were some complications, like with The Little Prince, it's Paramount being all crazy, and they decided at the last minute to just take away The Little Prince from its release date. And then I had to wait until Netflix decided to pick it up and release it in August, when I would go and release my review of it. And it's kind of the same case right here. I actually do have a review prepared for Leap or Ballerina, and I'm not going to be releasing it until the Weinstein Company ultimately decides to release that in theaters. Now, I am actually pretty confident that they are going to be releasing Ballerina in theaters. It's not going to be like The Little Prince, where they plan on releasing it, but then suddenly at the last minute, they just go, whoop! Like, the September release date is going to be a make-or-break deal. If it's not going to be released in that date, then it's not going to be released at all. But on top of that, you know, the bonus that I would say that when it's being released on September 1st is that it really doesn't have that much competition. Especially the factor that when you look into August, it's going to be the release of two of, so far, the most hated animated features in the 2017 lineup. You got the Emoji Movie, and you got the Nut Job 2, Nutty Over Nuts, or, I don't know, just a batch of stupid nuts or whatever. The Nut Job 2. So yeah, you got those two movies, and I'm sure that when you put in Leap, it's going to be like a breath of fresh air compared to those two pieces of crap. So maybe it won't get as much at the box office, but, you know, at least it can have a fighting chance. So who knows how it's going to go, but if you guys are still anticipated to go and check out Leap in America, then you just need to be a little bit more patient and wait until September 1st for the film to be released. And so, finally, we will now end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And this week, I decided to go with a story that is not related to the ones that I've talked about with all the CinemaCon stuff. No, this is not going to be about one specific movie where it revealed its title, or just an entire studio that revealed its little list of animated films that they're going to be releasing up to 2020, or anything like that. I am actually going to be going into a trailer this time. And, you know, funny enough, it does seem coincidental that now, week after week, we have been getting trailers for animated films. Rather it be like that whole giant batch where we got stuff like Despicable Me 3 and Coco. And then the week after that, we got Captain Underpants. And now this week, we actually got a trailer for an animated film from Blue Sky Studios. Now, the thing with Blue Sky is that nowadays, they are really gathering a bad reputation, especially since the last animated film that they have released, I think it can be pretty much agreed with many people that it is the worst Blue Sky film that they have ever made, which is Ice Age Collision Course, the fifth installment of the Ice Age franchise, and the one that everyone is pretty much unanimous by saying that they need to stop making these Ice Age movies. It's enough, okay? Like, we got too much at this point, and you could tell that they're just running out of ideas with it. Especially since at the box office, it really did not do as well as the previous installments. Or at least, it's the weakest of the sequels that they have made. So yeah, nowadays, people do not look at Blue Sky Studios likely. But they're hoping that with this movie, maybe they could have a little bit of their reputation back. At this point, they need another Peanuts movie to show that they can be a serious animation studio, that they can make more movies than just Ice Age. And they're hoping to deliver it with that, with Ferdinand. Now, if you don't know what the story is about, apparently, from what this trailer is telling us, is that we got this big, threatening bull named Ferdinand. But on the inside, the dude is an absolute sweetheart. He's not necessarily a bull where he thinks like other bulls and just wants to charge at people. With this one, Ferdinand just wants to smell flowers. That's all that he wants to do. He just wants to relax, you know, be in the meadows and just go out and sniff flowers. That's all that he wants to do. But since everybody sees him as a bull, they want to go and treat him like a bull, and especially the fact that he's a bull in Spain, they want to put him in a bullfighting pit. And that's where Ferdinand would get some help with his animal friends in order to try to escape the bull pit and, you know, just be himself and go in the meadows just so he can go out and try to smell flowers. And that's pretty much all that we got so far. I mean, at the most, it's nothing more than just this typical, oh, you know, just be yourself kind of story, or don't judge a book by its cover. You can already tell the moral of the story is very prominent in there. But on top of that, they also did announce some of the cast members that will be involved. These would include Kate McKinnon, coincidentally, Gina Rodriguez, David Diggs, Gabriel Iglesias, and so much more. And then we got the bull himself, Ferdinand, is actually played by John Cena. And if I could be very honest, the one good thing that I could say coming out of this trailer is that I'm actually really happy that they got someone like John Cena. And the reason for that is actually because just recently, I actually saw Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania because I have to do a review on my YouTube channel. And the one good thing that I could say coming out of this movie, despite it being an absolutely stupid film from Sony Pictures Animation and WWE, the good thing is that John Cena is actually a pretty good actor. Like, you could tell that if you can give him a good script, he can actually really make some magic. The dude really is talented. And even if he's just working with, like, really dumb, stupid scripts, like whatever WWE would bring him, he would go and make the most out of it. And even in this trailer right here, he does, like, he does deliver a great performance as Ferdinand. Like, I know that a lot of people are not necessarily too happy over the fact that Blue Sky would decide to go and bring in this wrestler that's just trending right now, and a lot of people only see him as either the wrestler or just as the meme of, and his name is John Cena, and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, I could definitely tell that he could be like The Rock 2.0. He definitely has the talent to do so. He just needs the right script and be in the right movie to really have his career launch so big as much as Dwayne The Rock Johnson is right now. But also, going back into the trailer that we got with Ferdinand, yeah, it didn't necessarily deliver as much. And we mostly just see Ferdinand just being a little silly, just being in his little shenanigans. Rather it be trying to carefully not break anything in a china shop, or like he's preparing to go attack a barrel and then suddenly he stopped and tumbled because he was about to crash land onto a little cute bunny rabbit and tries to perform CPR on him. And yeah, that's basically all that we got. But interestingly enough, if there's one weird aspect I would say coming out of the Ferdinand movie is actually the fact that you really do have some strong sense of home on the range. I don't know what it is, but you could tell in the art style that it has a little bit of that cartoony flair, but not too much. It's not going like with what we're getting this year with the Boss Baby or Captain Underpants, but it definitely does have that home on the range look where it has these stylized cows and even Ferdinand himself. In fact, I would not actually be surprised if the animators at Blue Sky actually did take some inspiration from the 1938 Disney cartoon, which actually won an Oscar, Ferdinand the Bull. And by the way, I just want to mention that if you are an animation fan, then you're probably familiar with the story of Ferdinand because of that Disney cartoon. It is considered one of the more popular ones, or one of the grand achievements that have been performed by the Silly Symphony series. So it is interesting that like it would start out as this little cartoon and then like it expand bigger into this Ferdinand movie. But yeah, that's one thing I would like to know from the animators at Blue Sky is if they took a lot of inspiration from if they took inspiration from the Ferdinand cartoon for this, because you could definitely tell, like, I can smell a bit of Disney in this, no pun intended. But even with that, though, I would say that I am definitely confident that the animators at Blue Sky can deliver something great, especially since you can see that in the little village where Ferdinand was, you can see that it's trying to capture that Spanish village. Like, they're trying to do something in the veins of what they did with Rio and what they did with the entire city with it. But in here, they're just going to go with a bit of a Spanish flair. So who knows how it could probably turn out. I'm sure it could be visually stunning. But one thing that I do not see with this movie is if it's going to be a box office hit, especially with its release date, considering that it's pretty much going to be out around or at the same time as this year's Star Wars movie. And I know that some people might say that, well, you know, maybe it could actually find a way to get profit. I mean, if you look at Sing, that movie actually did become very successful at the box office, despite always being overshadowed by Rogue One. That is true, though. However, there is a major catch to it. With Sing, it was only up against a Star Wars spinoff. And yeah, like, Rogue One was a huge hit, but it was nowhere near the numbers of The Force Awakens. But then you look at the case of Ferdinand, and with that movie, it is up against Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which is the sequel to The Force Awakens. And I can definitely guarantee you that for many people, it is the most anticipated film of 2017. So, of course, there are going to be a lot more people, including myself, that are pretty much going to be going out there and say, yeah, you know what? Screw the John Cena Bowl. I'm going to go and check out Rey being trained by Luke Skywalker. So that's kind of the big thing is that, yeah, when it's a direct sequel to a really big movie, people are definitely going to go check that out. I mean, Singh did get a little bit of leeway considering that it is just a Star Wars spinoff that focuses more on the Death Star more than it is a follow-up to what, like, basically the highest grossing film of the decade. So, yeah, there is that big factor. But if you guys are still excited to go and check out Ferdinand, then all you have to do is just wait until December 15th for the movie to be released. And that will be all that I got for this week. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at... hold on a sec. There we go. Just needed to fix up a little something. My computer went a little haywire for a second. Okay, so you can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast in iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be great. And if you have listened to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button in our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes.